With us on the line this morning, Cliff Bloom. He is one of those doing the seminar this weekend at DeVos Place downtown. He joins us on Morningwood. Hi, Cliff. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary and Steve.
Thank you. Is there a big difference between buying a house and buying a lakefront property?
Yes, absolutely. Even though both are different types of real estate, there are many additional pitfalls associated with lakefront property. As you said, Gary, lakefront property is the dream of everyone, but you've got to approach the purchasing or the sale, if you have an existing lakefront property, with some skepticism and use a program before you buy or sell.
I would imagine, you know, you go buy a lakefront property, there are a number of surprises that could pop up.
Yeah, just a few examples. Probably the most basic is it truly lakefront? A lot of people look at property and think it's lakefront, and it turns out later that there was a property gap or there's a road between your property and the lake that wasn't developed. So that's really something you have to check out ahead of time.
And pricing is pretty unique, too, when you think about comps. A lot of people will buy the lakefront property and tear down the house and build a new one.
Absolutely, and that's another area. Don't assume just because there's a cottage or a house there that you can rebuild, because you have to deal with environmental issues if it's out in the country, whether or not a new septic tank can go in, local zoning regulations. So never assume anything before buying a lakefront property. Check out everything ahead of time. And buy my book, Buying and Selling Waterfront Property in Michigan, which
voila!
Will be for sale at the show.
There you go. I mean, it's as simple as that. Nice plug there, too, Cliff. I like that.
Gary, it's for a nonprofit entity that I work with called Michigan Lakes and Streams Association.
That's really cool. All right. So, I mean, so what's the first thing I should check on if I'm going to buy a lakefront property?
Well, of course, buy the book.
Boy, that's 2 and 30 seconds. That's very good.
That's a record.
Second of all, you really have to have a system. Ideally, you should, whether you're a buyer or a seller, you should retain a really good realtor or real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, an attorney. An attorney is not always necessary, but it's kind of an added level of comfort. But the most important thing that you can do when buying waterfront property is do not sign anything, particularly the purchase agreement, until you've thoroughly gone over it and you check everything else out, because a lot of people don't understand that a purchase agreement is a binding contract. It's not a letter of intent, and once you sign it, unless the seller will agree to change it later, you're stuck with that. So you want to get everything in there and all your abilities to check out everything before closing.
Let's say you find a beautiful property, you like the house, you want to make a purchasing agreement. How much does the quality of the water come into play?
Happily, not. It's usually not a major consideration. It is one of those things you're going to want to check out during what we call the due diligence time period, between the time you sign the purchase agreement and the time you have to close. And that's why it's really important to get clauses in the agreement if you're the buyer. That, for instance, if you're concerned about the water quality, that you have the right to cancel the agreement if the water quality is poor. Now, of course, on the Great Lakes and most inland lakes, it's not a problem. Usually rivers, it could be. And if it's an artificial lake, sometimes you really want to check it out, because the water quality on some of the artificial lakes is not real great.
You know, and you know, you find out, especially along Lake Michigan's shoreline, that you've got people walking up and down your beach all the time. Well, you know, people are surprised to find out that's not really their beach.
Yeah, it's entirely different between an inland lake in Michigan and the Great Lakes. And you gentlemen probably remember the Supreme Court in Michigan decided in the mid-2000s that even if it's riparian property you own on the Great Lakes, the public has the absolute right to walk up and down up to the ordinary high water mark. That's generally not true in the inland lakes.
All right. Now, as a seller, Cliff, what do you need to watch for?
Well, as a seller, you're going to want to get a really good realtor or real estate agent. You're going to want to make sure that the purchase agreement has clauses such as the buyer takes as is. You know, in Michigan, you know, you'd think in the year 2013, with all the consumer protections out there at the federal and state level, that land would be heavily regulated. And interestingly enough, it's not. Generally, you sell, if you're the seller, you sell real estate as is with no warranties. The one exception might be if you're a builder selling a house you just built. So if you're a seller, make sure the purchase agreement's in good form and use a good realtor or real estate professional.
Now, you have to disclose everything, don't you? I mean, isn't that a rule here in Grand Rapids? Isn't that part of their deal, their contract, that, you know, you warrant, I guess, as, you know, the house?
It's not so much a warranty as is the Grand Rapids Association of Realtors is a very progressive group and very well respected, and they've got some good forms. But there is a state law called the Seller's Disclosure Statement. Yeah. So it does not apply to the sale of vacant land, only if you've got a cottage or house where you have to disclose everything. And you're right to the extent that if you don't disclose something, more often than not, that comes back to bite the seller. So it's best, not only legal, but obviously ethically and morally, to disclose everything to a prospective purchaser.
Cliff, is there a resource that covers all of this, like a book, maybe?
Yeah, there is, Steve. It's called Buying and Selling Waterfront Property in Michigan. It'll be for sale at the show. It's $20. There's no profit. It's put out by the Michigan Lakes and Streams Association. There's a lot of resources on my website, www.bsmlawpc.com. And there's the only magazine devoted strictly to riparian issues in the state of Michigan is called the Michigan Riparian Magazine. That's four times a year. It's nonprofit. That's a great magazine, and you can get it off the website.
Yeah. Hey, Cliff, quick opinion from you. What's the best time as a seller to put your lakefront property on the market? Is it right now so you get ahead of summer?
Right now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, spring and summer, because people are thinking that. Although, waterfront property, you know, it sells year-round, and the conventional wisdom in the past has been that waterfront property values never fall. That might have been true in our lifetime until the Great Recession.
Yeah.
Some waterfront properties have fallen, but they seem to be kicking back up quicker than other properties.
Yeah, the further north you go, the cheaper it gets. With the exception of that whole Traverse City, Petoskey, Charlevoix area.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, you can get some very good deals. All right.
Just remember, Gary, though, that up there, you're roughing it. I mean, if you like that, that's great, but don't expect to have the Walmart down the street.
All right, Cliff Bloom, thank you very much. He will be at the Cottage and Lakefront Living Show this weekend with his book, oddly enough. Ooh. The name of it again is...
Buying and Selling Waterfront Property in Michigan.
There you go. All right, see you at the show. Cliff Bloom, thank you very much.